Today's subject matter has been chosen after talking with Sri Vala. It is the power of blessings. In a modern life, we tend to believe in the power of elbows, pushing, or in the power of money, or we believe in the power of intelligence to make things happen. In the Vedic culture, or the ancient spiritual culture, we know that everything, even the things which are usually impossible, become possible by the power of blessings. The power of blessings make the impossible possible. There's a shloka, which you are well aware of. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tam ahang vande shigurun dinataranam. This house is called Krishna Kripa. Huh? Krishna Kripa. By the Kripa, the mercy of the spiritual master, the blessings of the spiritual master, someone who is lame, a pangum, all of a sudden is able to cross mountains. By the blessings of the spiritual master, someone who is blind all of a sudden can see the stars in the sky. There is our almost Purnima. And by the blessings of the spiritual master, a great mukh, a fool, can become an eloquent speaker. This shows you that the power of blessings can make impossible things possible, because it's not possible for a crippled man, a lame man, to cross a mountain, nor is it possible for blind men to see the stars or for the fools to speak. However, this shloka alerts us to the point that by the power of blessings, the impossible becomes possible. How do blessings come to our life? How comes this Kripa Shakti, this mercy, into our lives? How can we attract this powerful energy to descend and make the impossible possible? Well, it is first of all necessary to understand how blessings flow. Just like water flows from a higher position to a lower position, blessings can only flow from a higher position to a lower position. What this means is that the person who wishes to have the Kripa Shakti in his life must learn to take a lower or a humble position in front of a higher personality, the Guru, or ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Someone who is so arrogant and proud that he cannot come into a humble position before God or the sadhus will never be able to attract the power of blessings. To take the humble position between sadhu and guru is not a sign of weakness, as the modern man says. To take a humble position between the sadhu, the guru, and ultimately before Krishna, is the sign of the highest intelligence. Because only by taking a lower position is it possible for the water to fly, to flow. Water always flows from a higher position to a lower position. Blessings in the same way also only flow from a higher position to a lower position. Become humble. Go into a lower position. Don't be proud. You can only achieve blessings if you fall on your knees with tears in your eyes in a humble position, thinking yourself even lower than the little straw in the street on which everyone tramples. Yes, my dear devotees of Dubai, who have gathered today under the auspicious light of the almost Purnima, we are still waiting 1 or 2 days for the full Purnima to come. If you want to obtain the power of blessings, which will make the impossible possible, you will have to come on your knees. You will have to learn to pray in a humble position before Guru and Krishna. Sometimes, if we want to have blessings and we want to take a lower position, it can be an austerity. I think all of us remember how it was sometimes not easy to come into a humble position before our parents. Some of you might remember when you wanted to marry and your father was not agreeable. No, this girl you cannot marry. How it was difficult to remain in a humble position. Some of us might remember when we wanted to do things which our parents did not agree on, how hard it became to remain in a humble position. But the Vedas, they teach us that we must, in order to progress in our lives, obtain the blessings of superiors. And the natural superiors in a person's life are the parents. They have given birth to us. And we know when we are in a position of life where our superiors, like the parents, are dissatisfied and remain dissatisfied, we feel things are not right in our life because important blessings are not with us. If you want to have peace in mind, you must obtain the blessings of superiors. The Gita, Bhagavad Gita, says that it is there sometimes an austerity of the body to learn to offer respect. We should offer respect according to the Bhagavad Gita to God, but also to the powerful demigods. Like here in this house, you will find everywhere Ganesh. Very important to offer respects to Ganesh. In our house, we should have a picture of Ganesh Ji, because he will be able to remove obstacles on our path to progress. Then it's important to obtain the blessings of Brahmanas. Therefore, you must learn to offer respects to the Brahmanas. We will hear a little bit about this a little later. We must offer respects to the spiritual master and to superiors like the father and the mother. I would like to give you a little bit an illustration how it can be difficult to offer respects and take on a humble position. in order to obtain blessings. And I hope that with this illustration, the story from the Mahabharata, we will all get some light how even though it may be difficult to offer respects and to take a low position, it's absolutely required and compulsory if we want success. The story comes from the Mahabharata. Just before the battle of Kurukshetra, we will enter our little story. Story time. I will now be a Vedic storyteller who has entered a village. We are no longer in Dubai. I must dress a little bit in the way the storyteller dresses. Okay. The most powerful armies of the world had gathered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The war was unavoidable. Every attempt had been made to no success. Duryodhana wanted to fight against the Pandavas. His army was in great numbers present. On the other side was a small army led by Yudhishthira and Bhima. The two armies confronted themselves. Arjuna did not want to fight at first, but Krishna, the immortal Lord, spoke to him. Fight for the sake of Dharma, Arjuna. And he explained in his immortal teachings, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, what Sanatana Dharma meant. It meant to do all the activities in yoga, in connection with the will and the plan of the Lord. Arjuna, the general of the Pandavas, was ready. The war could start. But all of a sudden, Yudhishthira Maharaj put down his armor. And he started to walk over the battlefield, slowly approaching the enemy. Oh no! That Bhima, for 14 long years, he had expected the battle to start, and now Yudhishthira was most probably going again to ask for peace talk. Peace, peace, peace. Bhimsen couldn't hear this word any longer. But because Yudhishthira was the older, what could he do? He also put down his armor and he followed Yudhishthira over the battle. Arjuna, who was ready to use his celebrated bow, Gandiva, saw his two brothers walking towards the Kaurava, and he also had to lay down his armor and walk with Yudhishthira over the ground. Yudhishthira went straight to grandfather Bhishma, you know everything. And he said to Bhishma, Pitamaha, the battle is unavoidable. We will have to fight against you, who has been our father, or like our father, throughout all these years. Oh, Grandfather Bhishma, please grant us your blessings that we may fight with you. Grandfather Bhishma was in ecstasy, as we say in ISKCON. He said, you are so good, Yudhishthira. Tatastu, may you fight against us. Then Yudhishthira started to cry and said, Grandfather, as long as you are living, there is no hope for the Pandavas to win the battle. Therefore, I ask you, Grandfather, grant us the blessings that we may kill you. Grandfather Bhishma said, Tatastu, may you get the blessings. Yudhishthira, if you would not have come to me to ask me for these blessings, you would have lost the battle of Kurukshetra. Now, by the power of my blessings, be victorious. Yudhishthira kneeled down, touched the lotus feet of Grandfather Bhishma, and cried silently. Then he went to his martial arts guru, Dronacharya, asked him for the blessings. Then he went to Kripacharya, asked him for the blessings. And then he went back to the side of the Pandavas, and he said to Arjuna and to Bhimasena, now we can fight. We have the power of blessings. We are back in Dubai. We were just in a little village and we were hearing some Mahabharata katha. My dear devotees, please think in your lives about the power of blessings. We were speaking about Brahmanas, that we should approach the Brahmanas to ask them for blessings. Here in Dubai, many Brahmin Vaishnavas reside. There's our Sri Vallabh and many others. I do not all know. And then there are Brahmin Vaishnavas who come through, like our sannyasis. Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj soon will come. Bhakti Purushottam Swami is coming. Bhakti Vikash Maharaj is coming. Bhakti Vishram Madhava Maharaj is coming. Have to remember. It's very important that we go to them and ask them for their blessings so that in our lives we can make progress. Yes, sometimes our ego is there and we do not want to kneel down. After all, our ego always wants to convince us, you are the greatest Patel. You are the greatest Give me another South Indian name, please. Aya. Oh, yes. Aya means Paka Brahman. Our ego is very, very, very successful to try to convince us it's too much to bow down. You are the Supreme. No need to bow down. But an intelligent person will know that I am not the best of all Patels, and I am not the best of all Ayas. I am a fallen soul, a part of Krishna, an Angsa, Mamaivangso Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, and I am simply struggling in this world with my mind and senses to somehow go through my life. Even though I may be affluent and rich, and even though I may sit on the oil in Dubai, I am still a fallen soul of this world, fully under the control of the material nature, which inflicts birth and old age and disease and finally death upon me. So an intelligent person will not believe the constant influence of the false ego, who will always try to say, you are the best of all Patels, and you are the best of all whatever. I do not wish to, I think you understand the point. This false ego will only leave our hearts by the power of sadhana or spiritual practices. Only a person who has spiritual practices is actually able in his or her life to be humble. Spiritual practices or sadhana give us the inner power to be humble and take a humble position, even though we may be very qualified from material points of view. It is said, sadhana is like the powerful rays of the sun who can make water evaporate. The water of worldliness, which is all living in the pond of false ego, can evaporate by the power of the rays of sadhana. I would like to tell you a little Krishna Leela now from the Bhagavatam, where Lord Krishna himself indicates that we must take the power, the blessings of Vaishnav Brahmanas. It's the example of Shrutadev and Bahulashva. When Krishna appeared in Dwaraka Dham, or it appeared in Mathura, then he went to Vrindavan, as you know, and later he resided in Dwaraka, there were a few devotees who could not meet the Lord. Two of these devotees were the poor Brahmana Shrutadev and the king of Bahulashva, who was the king of the kingdom Mithila. So they could not go to Dwaraka simply because they had deity worship to do at their house. They worshipped their Gopal. And as you know, once we install the Murti or the Thakur, we are duty bound to perform our puja and our activities. So Krishna, when he sees that a devotee cannot come to him, then Lord Krishna will come to the devotee. So please don't all look to the children. we were apparently not successful to engage them during this program, so, but please keep your attention fixed that we can listen to this and that you are not always diverted. It's very important that you give me your attention. If you do not give the attention, you will not be able to hear the Krishna Katha. And Krishna Katha is necessary for us in our spiritual life. So, when Krishna left Dwaraka, so many sadhus were going with Krishna.
Oh, Hare Krishna!
You are the best of brahmanas. Thank you very much. So many sadhus were following behind Lord Krishna. And when Krishna saw that the sadhus are coming with me, I cannot go very fast now because the sadhus are... Wait, my Lord. So Lord Krishna took all the sadhus who came with him on his own chariot. And there were Shukadev Goswami, Angira Muni and everyone. And they went towards Videha, the capital of the kingdom Mithila. And on the way, many people came to the road to see Lord Krishna, who looked like the rising sun, and to be blessed by him. Lord Krishna stopped when he saw the devotees coming. There were simple farmers who left their works on the farm. There were simple people, but there were kings. Everyone came to the road. Krishna, swagatam! Oh, swagatam, suswagatam, Krishna! Shalanagatam, Krishna! And in this way, everyone received the blessings of the Lord and the saints. Then, they came to Videha, the capital of the kingdom of Maitila. The moment Krishna arrived there, he knew, I have to go and see two devotees. I have to see Bahulashva, the king, and also Shrutadev. And he expanded into two Krishnas. One Krishna went with one set of sadhus to Bahulashva. When Bahulashva saw Krishna and the sadhus arrive at his kingdom, he was jumping up and down. He came and he took his chada and waved it in the air. No, that he didn't do. He came with the brahmanas and received his lord and then brought him into the palace. And in the palace he paid his koti-koti dandavats, hundreds of dandavats. And he said, my dear lord, I'm so glad that you have come. Please stay for a few days in my palace. And he gave the Lord wonderful beddings. He gave the Lord wonderful food. And he cared for him as his best guest. And he was a king. He could care kingly, with kingly opulences. But when Krishna had entered the capital town, only one Krishna went to Bahulashva. The other Krishna, the expanded form, went with all the sadhus to Shrutadev. Shrutadev was poor. When he saw the Lord, he danced out of joy, and it was he who waved his chada. Oh, Krishna! Krishna! This is how he greeted his Lord. Then he got kusha grass mats and he spread the kusha grass mats on the floor. But he was so poor that he saw he didn't have enough grass mats. So he went to all the neighbors and said, "My Krishna has come and he has brought the sadhus. Please borrow me your grass mats." And in this way he got many grass mats and spread them, and he could give a welcome to everyone. Then he washed the feet of Krishna. He brought items like roots, fruits, tulsi leaves, lotus, sattvic foods, and massaged the Lord's feet. And then he prayed such sweet prayers. Would you like to know the prayers of Shrutadev? Only three of you want to know. More want to know. Good. "How have I attained your dasha, my Lord? You have always seen us since the beginning of time, but we see you for the first time. You have created this whole universe like a dreamer who creates a huge dream scene with capitals and towns and land. And then, my dear Lord, you have entered into your dream and you have met us who are parts of your dream. How fortunate we are. If you would not have entered your dream, we who are parts of your dream would never have seen you. How, oh how have we attained your darshan today?" "My dear Lord," said Shrutadev, "you reveal yourself within the heart to persons who are of pure consciousness. You come to those who constantly hear about you, who chant about you, who worship and glorify you, and who converse with one another about you. But I am poor in sadhana. I do not hear with love about you. I do not chant your names with love about you. But still, out of your kripa, you have come today to allow that I can worship you." And he sang a song. "Swagatam Krishna, Suswagatam Krishna, Swagatam 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 Krishna, Suswagatam Krishna.
Swagatam Krishna, to Swagatam Krishna.
When Lord Krishna heard Shrutadev's prayer, he took the hand of Shrutadev and he looked into his eyes, because now he was going to say something very important. He pointed to the Brahmanas and he said to Shrutadev, "O Shrutadev, you have praised me, but not them. One is gradually purified by seeing and touching and worshipping the temple deities. One is gradually purified by going to places of pilgrimage and taking bath in holy rivers. But the same result of purification can be attained very quickly by the glance and the blessings of exalted sadhus or saints." My dear devotees, are you convinced? The power of blessing is very, very important. Please, all of us and all of you, think how you can take a humble position of service to obtain the blessings. I want to make this point. If you are intelligent, you will serve the Supreme Lord. You will serve the Vaishnava Brahmanas and the Brahmanas. You will even serve your parents. And you will serve, at the last issue, all living entities, so that they can make progress in their path back home, back to Godhead. When you serve with a humble heart, you will obtain blessings and you will be surprised. Even the good wishes of the street sweeper whom you give prasadam will help you to advance. The gratitude of those living beings whom you could help will help you to advance. And especially the blessings of the Vaishnavas and the Gurus will help you to advance, so that your life becomes auspicious. Do not believe this nonsense development of our modern culture, where you believe more in the power of money and the power of intelligence than the power of blessings. Every morning in the Vedic society, the children will go to their parents and touch their feet to obtain blessings for the day. In the same way, in our ISKCON society, we have Prabhupada has installed the daily Guru Puja, where we go before we start the activities of the day to our Guru Maharaj, where we go to Srila Prabhupada and very sincerely we request him for blessings. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tam aham vande sigurun dinacharanam. I will now slowly close my book And I will follow our Shivalabha's request to tell you a little bit about my visit. I do know this is a very unusual situation for me, but I have to learn humility today in Dubai. Yes. Usually we are accustomed when there are lectures, then we should keep a very peaceful forum. It means what we have to learn is to create a situation where our children can play and be happy. It requires some intelligence. We need to bring our children to the spiritual programs. That's very important. Children should never be excluded from getting the mercy. But we need to strain our brain and our intelligence how we can create an activity forum for the children where they feel just very happy and can also scream and do things which children do. That is desired, and we should never be heavy on them and tell them not to be so loud. They should be loud. They should play. But it requires someone to engage them so that their energy is directed. Anyways, Prabhupada used to very, very much stress how important he thought the preaching would be in countries which are, I don't know how open I can speak here. You know, here, okay, we can say everything. I mean, yeah. in Muslim countries, huh? But I will not use the word again because maybe someone feels upset and we want everyone to be very happy with us. But Prabhupada used to say that he would take the dust from the feet of those who would preach in these areas. This was his... I remember he wrote a letter to a personal devotee friend, Tribhuvanand Prabhu, where he made this point. I take the dust on my head of those who preach in Egypt. It was like there... And Prabhupada used to write to ourselves when we were preaching in Afghanistan. Such letters of thanks, I'm almost ashamed to repeat them. So, by Shivalabha's kindness, and actually all of your kindness, you have always made Persian devotees feel very welcome when they came in Dubai, and they felt very inspired by your kind association and by your very good example. And there is a good group there. I remember when in the capital town there was a Bhagavad Gita class, up to 600 people attend the Bhagavad Gita class, all from this particular religious background, you know, which is different. You know, I do not wish to say this, you understand. So, yes, but they do not have any training and association. They do not know all these things. They, you know, you have taken your birth in India and your parents have trained you and given you also blessings, I hope, so that you have developed some good sanskaras in your hearts. But there, they come from a totally different background, you know, with total different eating habits and so on. So we were giving a week-long seminar, and at the end, I must tell you, they were crying so much to say goodbye to the Vaishnava. They were really heavily crying, like a rain cloud, which is very difficult to see in these areas, rain clouds. It was really, I must tell you, I was very much moved. I said to Sri Vallabha, I had to find the switch in my own personality to not cry myself. You know, it was so much crying, so much attachment in 1 week. So I have seen from this experience that there is such good scope for Krishna Bhakti everywhere. Because let us remember, Krishna Bhakti is not something which is an artificial imposition of the mind. It is there in the heart of even a German, in a latent or potential form. Just like oil can be found in a sesame seed. Sesame seed, there's oil is available there. So also Krishna Bhakti is available in every heart. You may not be able to see it, just like you cannot see with the naked eye the oil in a sesame seed. But it is there, and if the Harinam is sung, the holy names of Lord Krishna, at such a time, the Krishna Bhakti manifests spontaneously in the heart of the listener. He can be from whatever social or religious background. It does not matter. So this is something which I saw with my own eyes when we went to this country with a different religious background. And we were very much moved to see that there is great scope for preaching Krishna consciousness. So I very humbly request you, when in the future devotees from this country do come, you know, they are not Indians, they come from other background, then you should please give them a very much welcome and moral support, and tell them it's so nice that you are chanting Hare Krishna, encouragement and so on is very much required. And I believe that you will get so much blessings if you do this. Lord Krishna, he says there is no servant of him who is dearer in this world to his heart than the person who preaches Krishna consciousness. No, this is not there. Okay, so now this was my little report. I suggest that we do now a little bit more kirtan.